NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. We're going to visit with Chris Lowe here in just a second. Brent on Twitter, Preds rally 5-3 Saturday. Bet your kids' house in retirement. Seems risky.
No.
That sounds like a plasma guarantee there. I don't know. Five goals? Okay. Sign me up.
Oh, that'd be a big night down on Broadway.
Chris Lowe joins us now on 3HL. Chris Lowe from ESPN.com. Hey, Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
Brent, good to be with you guys on Good Friday.
Yes, sir. Happy Easter in advance.
Thank you to you and your listeners.
Judge Ramos ruled this morning that Sean Miller and Will Wade do not have to testify at the FBI trial next week. That's huge news for these schools and coaches, huh?
Well, for now, I mean, because it's irrelevant to the trial, the defendants in this trial. I don't know that some of this information will be relevant to the NCAA. I think that's ultimately what everyone wonders. Now, what does this mean as far as the NCAA investigation? Of course, and you remember, a lot of the stuff that's been out there have come from the defendants' attorneys. In fact, you got one attorney saying that, what was his latest quote? Their two head coaches are engaged in systematic cheating at the highest level. He's an attorney for Christian Dawkins, who's the runner, that's one of the guys who's on trial, set of Will Wade and Arizona Sean Miller. So, you know, what's out there, what evidence exists. I think this is, again, as I said to you guys last week, just the tip of the iceberg, and we'll see what the NCAA does. He can do it.
Information that's out there. And just because they're not testifying does not mean that some ridiculous information will not be made public during that trial.
Right. Who knows? Who knows what's going to come out of this trial? And remember, the federal judge also said that he could end up, depending on how the trial goes and what's offered up as evidence, et cetera, that he could change his mind and still order, you know, Will Wade and or Sean Miller to testify. So this is a trial that's probably going to take, I mean, it could take approaching a month, you know, several weeks before it's concluded. So there still could be some twists and turns. The whole thing is, as I said before, it's a black eye for college sports, for college basketball. But here we are with a federal trial, and you've got, you know, all these names of coaches and players. The people that I feel sorry, and I've said this over and over, and people I feel sorry for are the kids on these teams, whether it's LSU or Arizona or anywhere else. They're all getting lumped into this that don't have anything to do with any of it. To me, that's what's really sort of crappy about all this.
And ultimately, Chris, at least for now, Will Wade returns, and he will continue as the coach at LSU. Joe Oliva, however, did not emerge from this as the athletic director at LSU.
No, that happened pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen an AD hired before the guy that he's replacing is fired? It sounds like that's probably what happened here. In fact, in talking to people close to this, I think there have been maneuvering, talks, negotiations, whatever you want to call it, for a couple of weeks. It was pretty obvious the leader wasn't going to survive. He had no backing, and a lot of people on him, powerful people there in and around LSU, who wanted him out for a number of different reasons. The way the whole Les Miles deal went down, the way that they couldn't close a deal with Jimbo Fisher, and then end up with Ed Ogeron. You know, who knows? Ed may end up doing just fine there, but was promoted after you fired a guy that was winning, you know, 10 or so games a year and won a national championship, and then the Will Wade stuff. So I never felt like Oliva was going to be there very long. But to LSU's credit, they targeted the guy they wanted, the guy with LSU ties, a guy that has proven that he can get and attract big-name coaches into his program. Of course, I'm talking about Scott Wood, what he did with Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Williams in basketball, and a guy that has, you know, has been there. That's his, you know, that's his home, Baton Rouge, where he went to school, and they went out and they got it. And it wasn't like they fired Oliva and then they said, okay, we're going to go take our shot and get Scott Woodward. Now, this thing was all done pretty quickly.
And meanwhile, Texas A&M now needs an athletic director.
Right. And, you know, and I know it has been a lot made of this, that Jimbo Fisher has zero buyout. The only other person, Mickey, that I know has zero buyout and a big contract like that is you.
I thought you were going to say Hollywood Swain over in Knoxville.
Uh-huh. No, you say I never include you. No, Swain, Hollywood Swain's contract is so astronomical that I think they're still negotiating the buyout.
Fair enough.
But no, in all seriousness, Jimbo has zero buyout. I mean, he could go wherever he wants to go. And I know there's going to be all of these conspiracy theorists about, Woodward's the one that set that contract up. If Ed doesn't make it. But, if you're Ed Ogeron, I think there's two ways to look at this. Number one, you always, as a head coach, like to work for the guy who hired you. Well, Woodward didn't hire him. Mm-hmm. But also, there's another side of this. And it's kind of Woodward understands what it takes to win in the SEC. What, the money, the support, the resources. He's very, and I've talked to Scott. I was over there, spent some time with him last preseason. He's been dialed into that. I think he's gonna give Ed everything he needs and then some to be successful at LSU. Now, if it doesn't work, and he doesn't get it done, then yeah, I think there's going to be another push for Jimbo Fisher. But I think in the meantime. And Ed had I think, a better year than most people thought he would last year. Mm-hmm. And that roster this year is stocked. They should be a really good football team. I think the key year for Ed will be the 2020 season because they lose a lot off that roster. How they recruit, how they develop over the next year or two, I think that's the key year for LSU. Ed Ogeron is 2020.
Hey, on the way out, Chris, one of your colleagues wrote, and I saw you had retweeted it, a story about Mackenzie Milton, the quarterback from UCF. Oof. And for people who are looking for a good story and a ray of hope, that young man definitely providing it. Just an unbelievable story. Andrea Adelson wrote the story about him.
Yeah, Andrea did a great job. And kudos to her and to ESPN to tell that story through Milton's eyes. He's the one that told it to Andrea and just sort of what his emotions were and what he had to go through and the way he persevered. I mean, so often, we're removed from all that. We know a kid may come back from an injury or come back from this or, he suffered it, but to hear it in that kind of graphic detail and to hear him tell it the way he did, I agree, Mickey. Thanks for bringing that up. That's a story that I think a lot of people are going to want to read. It's not always pretty when you read it, but boy, it's real. And it takes you into a kid, whatever sport they play, when you're going through something like that, it takes you right into their world.
Well, we appreciate you, Chris. Always love visiting with you, talking college athletics, and certainly hope you have a great Easter with family.
Well, same to you guys and same to your listeners, and look forward to catching up soon.
All right. Thank you, Chris. At CeeLo ESPN. When we come back, call your shot. We're going to have any preds called in this call your shot segment. We have one on Twitter. It seems like most people think the preds are going to lose tomorrow.
Mm. I called the shot for the preds last Friday. Remember, it was about this same time of the week.
Same bat channel.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll call it again.
615-737-1045. Call your shot next. 3HL 1045 The Zone.